Well, it is my great pleasure and privilege to invite Steve Hodgson to come and share his story with us this morning. So a very warm welcome for Steve.
Thank you for that welcome. Before I start, I just had a sense of, well, I've had it since for a couple of days, but the Lord just highlighted it to me this morning. There's someone who didn't feel worthy to come to church this morning, that maybe felt rubbish and didn't really want to come in. And what the Lord was just showing me was that He just wants to change your perspective on something. So if you feel that's you, then seek one of the ministry team. We're all at David's tent this week, but but seek someone out at the front if you feel that's you. In the way of those who have gone before me in the last few weeks, the title of my story today is The Wonder of You. You. Not you. You. In July of 2000, I was sitting on Waterloo Cab Rank, 6 a.m., waiting for the next commuter train to come in. I was reading Luke chapter 24, verses 24 to 32. I was 40 years old and had never heard the gospel. Terry was saved in 1999. She invited me to a baptism and I hated what I saw. Happy, clappy people. I mean, before I knew Jesus, I had a wooden heart. The next day, I went out and I bought myself a Bible. I needed to build a case against Christ. I started at the beginning of Genesis, and 7 months later, there I was, sitting on Waterloo Station. During this time, Terry had given me a leaflet, which I remember as, "God has nicked my wife." Apparently, that is not what it was called. In the back of the leaflet, there was a prayer of salvation. I prayed that prayer, but I dismissed it immediately. Back to Luke 24. Two disciples were heading back to Emmaus, discussing the events of that week in Jerusalem when a stranger joined them on the road. He joined in the conversation and explained why the Messiah had to suffer on behalf of humanity. He explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself. So when reaching their home, they invited the stranger in to share an evening meal. Meanwhile, back in my cab, my temperature was rising, my heart was pounding, and I was filled with a joy. Verse 30, when at the table with them, he took the bread, gave thanks, broke the bread, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. That jumped out of the page at me. It was resounding in my head. Open your eyes and recognize that I had been walking with you. Verse 32. Were our hearts not burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Well, my heart was burning. I was absolutely on fire. By this point, I had dissolved into tears, full on sobbing. I did my next job. I was a cab driver, by the way, if you don't realise that. I did my next job, Waterloo to Chancery Lane, and I was just crying my eyes out. I was saved and baptised in the Spirit by reading the Word of God. My next experience of the Holy Spirit was at my baptism. I spoke publicly for the first time and shared my testimony, and someone gave their life at the end. And I just remember thinking, wow, there's really, really power in these words. As I was thinking about this talk, the Lord was speaking to me about testing and trials. I'd already been typing out what I was going to say, but then I just felt to delete all I'd previously written and follow the Lord's leading. I got 20 minutes to talk here this morning. I had 17 minutes and I wasn't even up to the point of where I was saved. So, I decided that I needed to follow the Lord's leading. He made me aware of certain patterns that had prevailed on my journey. Hopefully, you will see what I mean as I go on. Weeks later, after my baptism, there was a call for someone to join Jane Andrews in the children's work at Queen's Park Baptist Church. I felt the Holy Spirit urging me forward. What a perfect way for me to start learning the Bible stories in a simple, childlike way. I was being tested. Would I be willing to go in with the children and learn the basics with them? Would I even say yes to the Holy Spirit's prompting? Well, I spent about a year in a Sunday school, and it was a really great discipleship. This led to being asked to set up a youth club down at South Green, help set up a youth club down at South Green called Integrate, where we often had over 100 kids in attendance. About a year or so in, through unfortunate circumstances, I ended up leading the team. I had no experience of leadership, no experience of seeking Holy Spirit guidance, but in truth, I don't think those around me did either. So it was probably only about 25% spirit, and that's when he could push me out of the way. The rest of it was in my strength. I believe my credibility was being tested. The leadership would have been watching. Could they depend on me? Would I pass the test of time and stick it out? Integrate grew into a family event called Fun in the Sun. And I even managed to find a leaflet. It's not got the year on it, but it must be 15 years ago. Yeah, so Integrate grew into a family event called Fun in the Sun that some of you may remember or even helped out at. I've lost my place. The church gave me the biggest budget they'd ever given to a single event, about £3,000. I mean, I was amazed. I mean, absolutely amazed that they trusted me with it. About 600 people turned up to see Christian acts like Tough Talk, Shane Lynch from Boyzone, and Steve Legg. I was being tested again. The testing here was accountability and trustworthiness. Could I come under the leadership without moaning? Could I work alongside the accountants overseeing the budget and not getting a strop if they said no? Things went well with Fun in the Sun. As we ran the event for 3 years, the attendance got bigger and bigger, but I knew there was something missing. Where was the fruit? God was really good through this period, never letting me cause too much damage to anybody, but teaching me all the time. But in private, there was plenty of tears. Personally, I was being shaken up. God was at work. I needed to be sanctified, cleansed from within. This took 3 painful years of God stripping away the old and Holy Spirit teaching me a new way. Now, this work is still going on, but those 3 years stand out for me as a period of change and growth. My character was being tested. Did I have the potential to make changes in my life that would allow me to go on to the next level? I was in God's will, but facing personal problems. How would I respond to adversity? We all face trials on a journey with the Lord. James chapter 1 verses 2 and 3 says, "Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that in the testing of you, faith produces patience." Patience, not an emotional reaction to a situation, but a deliberate, intelligent appraisal of the situation from God's perspective. View the trial as a means of moral and spiritual growth. Don't rejoice in the trial, but in the results of the trial. Testing carries the idea of proving genuineness. Trials purge faith of dross, stripping away what is false. Patience is not passive resignation, but positive steadfastness that bravely endures. Not long after this period, we changed churches. I believe this was Holy Spirit-led as we ended up at CGC Chelmsford, where we met Rick and Bev Murrell and came under their loving umbrella. Here, the cycle starts again. We were invited to join the hospitality team, doing teas and coffee. Was a call to it? No. But I believe we all need to go through periods of saying yes. Not overstretching ourselves, but being willing to get stuck in where needed. It was a credibility test again. These people didn't know me, so trust had to be built on both sides. I'd like to point out that we need to prove nothing to God, but we only need to prove stuff to ourselves, that we are capable. After the hospitality, I found myself driving the minibus around Chelmsford, helping vulnerable people get to and from church, which was more of that credibility testing before the Lord just moved me on to the next level. And that's when the big jump came up to life coaching, which was totally out of my comfort zone. I was on a course with Ike Apprentice, Stephen's mum. Also, Nikki and Pete Sims, who now lead up Skylight Church. Ike and myself later put together a course to coach people in large groups that was a huge success in its short life. People's lives were changed for the better. At this time, I was also involved with Roland and Margaret Tan in the Chelmsford Healing Rooms, which was my first adventure into the more spiritual side of Christianity. But do you see the pattern? Start off where needed in a church. Build trust with leadership. Be teachable. Be willing. You may not feel called to a certain job, but you're planting seeds. I believe you then see the rewards in growth. Planting seeds is not only in other people, but within ourselves also. As we move into the smaller jobs that require less faith, the Lord will use those seeds to grow us on, increasing the gift of faith, a confidence in him that we will be able to do the riskier stuff. I don't believe in the kingdom of God, anything is for nothing. We always have to make an investment. Our life's for his. Our life is the investment. His life is the return, the in abundance, the divine exchange. It's like putting savings in the bank. After a year, you get it all back, but with interest. You have to invest. It's the first step to getting the growth in wisdom and advancement in the kingdom. Invest your time in good works, not to earn your salvation, because that's already paid for, but out of love. Take Jesus out to the people. Invest your time in gaining knowledge of the truth and applying that truth to your life. Anyway, back to my story. After this period, I lost my way somewhat. I returned back to Billericay to my old church and visited the new CGC Billericay in Costa and then the Rising Sun. But I could not find what I was looking for. I walked away from church for about 2 years. I always knew I would be back because I just can't help believing. I always knew it would be returning here to Revival where Terry was attending. I knew there must be more, but I didn't know what it was. I was searching for something. In the 2 years away, I lost 6 stone in weight, trained in Krav Maga, which is Israeli commando unarmed combat. I trained that to just under instructor level. But the Krav Maga come to a sudden end with... Yeah, the Krav Maga came to a sudden end with an injured knee, which was later on to be miraculously healed. Then, one Sunday night, I was watching Call the Midwife on TV. I felt Holy Spirit calling back into the fold. The nun's unfettered love for the people of East London back in the ghetto reduced me to tears, and I so wanted to run back into the waiting arms of Jesus. He was always on my mind. I'd stopped wearing my silver cross while I was away. It just looked like an instrument of torture rather than a symbol of hope. My first Sunday back to Revival, I went to put the cross on, but the chain was in a really tight knot that I couldn't unpick. But I decided to wear it anyway. It would be a reminder of my time away. In the service, Andy prayed for an untangling of complications in people's lives. And I just sort of touched the knot. And as I touched it, it turned fluid and melted back into the chain. And the Lord told me to forget the past, it's the future that's now important. On returning to Revival Church, I was reading the word with renewed vigour. I was enjoying my journey with the Lord. I've always liked to stretch myself. I've always looked for courses that would inspire growth. In the past, I have completed Derek Prince's Foundation for Christian Living, a year-long distance learning course. I completed the life coaching course at CGC Chelmsford under Neil Prem. So when the opportunity came along to do the European School of Supernatural Life, I jumped at it. This is where the journey turns into a great adventure. On my first visit to the school, I was amazed at the freedom in the worship, but I'll be honest, it scared me. I'd never seen anything like it. Holy Spirit reassured me it was all good and welcomed me to join in. The school's strapline was revelation, wisdom, and authority. A revelation of the presence of God in the worship and the word. People were being ill just walking into the building, walking into the Lord's presence. The second years were bringing words of knowledge and prophesying. This was such an encouragement to me to see people from all walks of life taking up the challenge of living a life of adventurous risk-taking for him. And I wanted that. This was what I had been searching for. My heart was burning again with passion, hope, and wonder at where this school was going to take my life. The first year was learning about yourself, your identity in Christ, knowing in your heart that you are a son, an heir to the throne along with Jesus. And that is the key. There is no power if you do not have an intimate relationship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. How do you build a relationship? The same way that you'd build a relationship with a potential spouse or close friend. Spend time with them. I wanted this change in my life so much to have the relationship that these people had with Jesus. Are you willing to change to see the growth in your life? No change, no growth. They go hand in hand. I got used to coming into his presence, and each week with growing revelation, I understood, not in my head who I was in Christ, but in my heart. When you are continually surrounded by people who have such a close relationship with Christ, you can't help but grow closer. The teaching gives an increase of knowledge, and continually asking in faith for an increase in the gift of wisdom to apply that teaching brings exponential growth. And I'm not talking about intellectual knowledge or philosophical speculation, but spiritual understanding. When God grants a gift, he does it liberally and without reproach. Now, I no longer read big chunks of the Bible every day. I read one chapter a day, but try to understand what I'm reading via Holy Spirit wisdom. And this Bible, I'll show you the Bible because I think it's a great Bible. The New Spirit-Filled Bible. And it gives you all the explanations underneath, like an application or study Bible, but it's coming from an Hebrew and a Greek. It gives you the meaning. It's such a great Bible. I've had that Bible for years, but I must admit it's only been in the last couple of years that I've really started using it. And I find it's really so invaluable to me in gaining truth. People often misquote John 8:32, saying that the truth will set you free. What it really says is, you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. It's not the presence of truth, but the knowledge of truth that will set you free. The truth cannot help me unless I know it. Isaiah 46, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Knowledge is the gathering of information. Understanding is the interpretation of that information, and wisdom is the application of that information. So armed with revelation and wisdom, you can now go out with authority, Jesus' authority. You can pray to heal the sick with faith and authority. You can demand demons to flee. You can bring words of knowledge and prophecy. You can bring reconciliation to families. These all open doors to people's hearts, giving you opportunity to witness for Jesus in power. Something that's come about recently is my love of the Book of Acts. No tradition, no pomp, and no ceremony. It is our biblical model of how a Christian life should be, outworked in every aspect of our being. Spirit-filled believers doing what Jesus did, taking Jesus out of the church building into every aspect of our lives with power and authority. I want to challenge you now. Are you willing to change your life and live wholeheartedly for Christ? Pray about that and see what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. As a sum up, I want to invite you to let joy reign when you're surrounded by trials. Know that tests and trials will result in endurance and patience. to patiently endure the trials, knowing that the result will be maturity, a faith that lacks nothing. Freely ask for the gift of wisdom. Be assured God will give it in abundance. Let faith be evident to all by your good works. Seek his presence all the time, because the rest of it is just bling without his presence. Pray for a mighty outpouring of the Spirit on the church, but remember who you are in Christ. Can I just pray now, finish with a prayer? Father, I would just like to pray for a fresh filling of revelation for each one of us, Father, for an increase in faith, wisdom, and patience. That if you're tested, you look forward to the growth and maturity as a result that each one of you answers the call to witness for Jesus at every opportunity. That you can take Jesus out of the box called church, that you will be the church that Jesus builds in Billericay. We pray that in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Isn't that good? Isn't that good? And it just encourages us. We've all got a testimony. We're flagging up some, you know, at the front, which is great. But nobody can argue with our story that we have with God. And, you know, when push comes to shove, you know, and we're sharing our lives with other people, you know, you can debate scripture and everything like that, but nobody can argue with our testimony because that stands. So it's powerful. So thank you, Steve.